This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll have a conversation with Liza Long, whose son has bipolar disorder. She touched off a national conversation on the challenges faced by people with mental illness with a blog she wrote in 2012. First up, discrimination and stigma can create barriers to recovery for people facing mental health issues, but changing perceptions about mental illness can help remove those barriers. Lindner Center of Hope is holding an education day on Sunday, May 3rd to enhance awareness of mental illness and addiction and ultimately help reduce stigma surrounding these conditions. Joining us from the Lindner Center of Hope to discuss evolving attitudes towards mental health issues are President and CEO Dr. Paul Keck, Stacey Reese, Manager of Inpatient Social Work and Spiritual Care, and Chief Operating Officer Brian Owens. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Brian, Stacey, and Paul, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Paul, tell me about the mission and the work that the Lindner Center of Hope is doing.
The Lindner Center of Hope was the vision of Francis and Craig Lindner, and they recognized about 10 years ago that there were certain deficiencies in mental health care in our city, and they wanted to do something meaningful about it. And the center, in a medical term, really means it provides a system of care that includes hospital care, outpatient care, partial hospital care. We also have a research institute that helps inform treatment and bring the latest treatment advances to patients, and that provides care for people across the age spectrum. So for outpatients, we treat people age 2 to older age, and on the hospital side, in our partnership with Cincinnati Children's, we treat people from age 11 and on.
Brian, can you tell us some more about some of the specific programs that the Lindner Center is involved in?
Sure. We have a lot of different specialties in the mental health realm. We have a mood disorders program, which includes depression and bipolar. We also have a anxiety program that includes things like OCD, obsessive compulsive disorders. We have an eating disorder program, which includes things like bulimia and anorexia, binge eating. We have electroconvulsive therapy. We've got transcranial magnetic therapy. What else, guys, do you want to add to that?
Stacey, what are some of the other things?
A women's program, specifically specializing in mental health and mental wellness in women. We also have two residential programs, one for adolescents. It's the Williams House. And then we have an adult residential program, the Sipsey House.
So, Paul, it sounds to me like you're approaching mental health issues from a very broad perspective.
Yeah, I think the best thing about the Lindner Center of Hope is it's a beautiful campus and a nice building, but the best thing is really the clinicians and clinical staff that we have there. And again, Francis and Craig recognized that we could have a pretty building, but if we didn't have top clinicians working there, it wouldn't be a cutting-edge place. So we have a very consistent team approach. We've got huge breadth and depth in expertise, and we try to bring to patients what they need specifically and personalize their treatment.
Now, how widespread is mental illness? Is this something that's going unnoticed as one of the biggest health problems in this country?
Well, it shouldn't be unnoticed, but it is. Mental illness is the number one public health problem in the U.S. It's also the number one public health problem globally. To put it in perspective, mental illness affects about 1 in 4 people in their lifetime, and in aggregate affects more people than cancer, heart disease, and diabetes combined. And yet, access to treatment is difficult. Knowledge about mental illness hasn't permeated our society very well. And there's part of the stigma is a silence, and that's, I think, what Liza Long talked about, that the price of silence. People don't start a conversation when they have a friend or a loved one that they're worried about. And the longer any mental illness goes undiagnosed and untreated, like any other medical illness, the worse the outcome, the harder it is to get someone well.
You know, that's interesting you talked about the silence and what Liza Long said. Glenn Close, the actress, had a really good quote about this. She said it's an odd paradox that society society can speak so openly about topics that were once unspeakable, but it's still largely silent when it comes to mental illness. So why do you think that there's still this silence about mental illness? Why such a stigma surrounding it?
I think one of the things we're trying to do is communicate to people that talking about it is the first step. And you know, Mental Health Month is coming up here in May, just 2 days from now. Mental Health Month, Awareness Month, started in 1949 through Mental Health America. And we really don't have a national conversation about mental health issues, and that's really what we're trying to do. We feel like we need to be leaders in the field of mental health. That's part of our mission. And so in a similar vein, if you look at what breast cancer used to be perceived as, something to be afraid of, people didn't used to talk about it, and therefore people ended up not getting the help they needed and being very stigmatized. But now the conversation is you get help, you get early treatment, people get, you know, well, cured, treated, and you can go on living your life. And I mean, it's you notice the pink ribbon everywhere, right? I mean, we've got NFL linebackers wearing pink shoes and Joey Votto using a pink bat. Which is great, but on the other hand, mental illness is not talked about like that. And it's very similar to that. So we're trying to take a page out of that playbook, if you will, to say, hey, let's talk about mental health awareness. And so our color is green. So mm-hmm. You'll see, instead of the pink ribbon, we'll see a green ribbon, just like a lot of other things have, you know, awareness type of colors. Ours is like a spring green. So we'll start promoting that and really wanting people to promote that green to get the conversation started. We partnered with the city of Mason, and they're going to have banners put up in the street talking about mental health awareness. It's going to say break the silence, because once that silence is broken, then people start talking about it. They get the help they need, early recognition and treatment, and you know, you just have better outcomes. When you wait and you don't talk about it, there's a lot of fear. What are people going to think? All that kind of stuff that, you know, then once they get over that, we find that then they can get the help they need. So the stigma really kind of prevents people from getting that help. And we believe that educating people about that, so it kind of takes some of the fear away from it. So that's what we're doing on our education day on Sunday, that I think Stacy might talk about here, just the different topics.
Sure, we can talk about that as we go along. That's a very important element of this whole thing. Why the color green, though, Brian? That's interesting.
Well, you know, I think it's something that has been a difficult thing for the national. In the national realm, there really isn't. There's pockets of this mental health awareness, and there's pockets of, you know, what color. And so NAMI is National Alliance for Mental Illness. They have said green is the color, and I think it's because of its new life. You know,
so the color of hope.
Yeah, and it just is really.
It does seem like an appropriate color.
It is. Yeah. So I think that's, you know, if you look up there's a website on all the different colors on different awareness, you know, like pink and purple, and autism is like a puzzle. You have blue and that type of thing for autism as well. But mental health really, we're trying to get that green out there as mental health. That is our push, because there really isn't a national conversation about this yet. So.
Stacy, what's your perspective?
Absolutely. So I'm on the floors every day working with patients and clients, and probably on a daily basis, I'm asked, how do I tell my neighbor where I'm at right now? How do I talk to my employer? And of course, we give them ways to do so that it's protective of them. But I would love to be at a point in this community where I can say, hey, I'm struggling with depression, or I have anxiety, and not have someone step back and be fearful of what that means. I would love to be able to have community members be able to openly talk about how their family members are affected. I was at the Mason Community Center a couple weeks ago promoting this Education Day, And unfortunately, because of the stigma that I see mental health gets, I had a lot of responses of people kind of saying, hey, who are you and what's this about? And as soon as they found out what it was about, it was sort of a step back, again, that fear. The other response I got is, oh my goodness, I need to talk to you about my daughter. Or can I, you know, I need resources for my loved one. So it's out there and people want to have those conversations and people want to be able to have the invitation to have those conversations. And that's what I hope the Education Day is just to start to open that door to allow folks to be able to talk.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And Stacy, is some of this that people are, say you have an anxiety disorder, and you think, if I tell people this, I'll be perceived as weak. They're embarrassed to talk about it because there's a frailty, and then they don't want to admit to that. Is that a big part of it?
I think any illness, the stigma has come from weakness, right, or a lack of understanding. So I think depression, anxiety, eating disorders, the whole gamut of mental health, to say that you have this illness or that you're struggling with an illness could equate weakness in other people's eyes. What's wrong with you? I think there's a lot of ideas about mental illness not being true illnesses when we know that this is just as biological as diabetes or heart disease. That if people could understand that their mental illness isn't their fault and it's not something they're just going to shake off and, you know, get out of bed and move forward, that there's actual treatment for this. I think that's where the stigma and the fear comes from.
Yeah, Paul, what are some of the other misperceptions that people have about mental illness?
I think one of them is that it's not treatable. In the last 30 years that I've been in the field, there have probably been more treatment advances, both in the medication end of things, some devices, and in evidence-based proven forms of psychotherapy than in any other field of medicine. Now, we probably had more to go than any other field of medicine 30 years ago, but with the armamentarium of treatment options we have available to people, the goal for most people with most psychiatric illnesses is recovery and being well and living a meaningful life. That wasn't true when I was in training 30 years ago. So I think people don't understand that there are effective treatments. I think there are also myths about diagnostic precision, that this is a lot of psychobabble. In fact, the validity and reliability of psychiatric diagnosis is as good as any other medical diagnosis, as long as a clinician has time to spend with a patient and do a thorough assessment. So we know how to diagnose, and we have a lot better treatments, and therefore the outcomes when people finally cross the threshold to get help are usually very, very good.
So the outcomes are much better than they were decades ago.
Much better.
Now, is there also a misperception, too, that you sometimes have people who think that anyone who's mentally ill is also capable of being violent? Stacy's shaking her head like she's experienced this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that whether it's how we've seen it played out in the media and other films and things like that, I think there's a misperception that mental illness equates violence. And what we know is this: there's an extremely small percentage of folks that struggle with mental illness that do act out violently. So, that's probably a part of the big fear as well. I don't think any of us could do this work as our careers all day long if we were scared of the people we worked with. And I've been doing it for, over 10 years now, and I don't feel threatened by the folks that I work with.
We will continue our conversation about reducing the stigma surrounding mental health illness and addiction and educating people about the issue. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us from the Lindner Center of Hope to discuss evolving attitudes towards mental health issues are President and CEO Dr. Paul Keck, Stacy Reese, Manager of Inpatient Social Work and Spiritual Care, and Chief Operating Officer Brian Owens. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Stacy was talking about how mental illness is portrayed in TV and the movies has not exactly helped the situation. But are we getting better at that? Are we seeing more accurate portrayals of people with mental illnesses?
Several years ago, there was a movie with Jack Nicholson in it called One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was really kind of how things used to be in mm-hmm. mental institutions, but that really stuck in people's minds
yes.
that's how treatment is, and it's just not the case anymore. In fact, Craig and Francis Lindner were very strong in their beliefs about when we created the Lindner Center, what type of environment it was going to be. So we really tried to make it home-like, almost looks like a lodge, that it was very patient and family-oriented. People felt comfortable there. They were respected. So that was very important. But the way the media is portrayed now, I mean, there's been some movies such as A Beautiful Mind that came out a few years ago, a gentleman that was, I think it was based on a true story with Russell Crowe, was
mm-hmm,
that right?
That's right.
And he had schizophrenia, and that was, I thought it was masterfully done. And there's been a lot of other more recent movies, but I think it's come a long way. I always say we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go. But we've definitely made progress in how things are portrayed. I do think, though, that sometimes in the media still that they immediately jump to the crisis or the shootings and those things, because that's what gets headlines mm-hmm. and what pays the bills or whatever. But it's not an accurate portrayal all the time of the vast majority of people that have mental illnesses and the treatment and the help that's available. So I just think there's something that the media can do in promoting the positive things that are happening in the mental health field, not just the the Sandy Hook shootings and things like that.
Well, that was Liza Long's point, that it's easy to talk about guns and violence. It's more difficult to talk about the real issue, which is mental illness.
Yeah.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation, and let's talk with Mickey and East End. Hi, Mickey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you to all you compassionate people. And Mr. Paul, wonderful comments about the media. However, I have spent several times in a hospital recently, and they are like one flew over the cuckoo's nest, unfortunately. And it's quite a prison. Anyways, my main comment was on stigmatization. I have recently been through a massive stigmatization by my family, which has deeply traumatized me.
Oh.
And this is happening to many, 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 many people around the world because of, yes, the way the media is portraying the crazy people. Well, the crazy people are gifted and super sensitive, and so they are wild, you know.
Hey, you're still human beings, yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and we are swept under the rug. And so thank you for your good work, and that's it, okay?
Thank you, Mickey. We appreciate the call very much.
Yeah, thank you, Mickey, and I'm sorry to hear how your family is handling your illness, and this is something we see from families. It's hard to understand what your loved one is going through if they've never been through it before. But that's exactly what we're talking about in regards to this Education Day, attempting to reach families and community members who have loved ones who have been affected by mental illness but just don't quite get it. This is an opportunity to really start educating yourself on why are they acting this way, or why aren't they able to get out of bed today. This is the opportunity to educate yourself.
Let's talk with Greg in Claremont County. Hi, Greg.
Hi. Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'm a therapist working in Claremont County, and as I work with families of teenagers on probation, we have a lot of these conversations with families and individuals about mental illness. But I really, what I wanted to share is just kind of the other side of the coin, that I feel like a lot of the stigma or the fear of stigma comes from the belief that if someone has a symptom or, they have a depressive episode or something, that automatically means it's this, biologically rooted genetically based mental illness when, you know, in fact, symptoms can be very situational. I work with so many kids who, you know, they've been labeled a certain way, and sometimes it's legitimate, but sometimes the symptoms are there because of things going on in their life, or just, you know, family chaos, or, you know, sometimes the inattention is more about grieving than it is about ADHD. And so I think we have a lot of work to do to educate people on the difference between genuine, bona fide mental illness that needs medication versus symptoms that are there because of other issues in their life.
Greg, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Yeah, I think that's a good time to bring up what you're doing on Sunday, May the 3rd, the educational day. Stacy, did you want to tell us what's going on?
Absolutely. So this Sunday at the Manor House, the Lindner Center of Hope is hosting a community education day. And this is the first of its kind. And we have partnered with the City of Mason and AssureRx. And this event is also funded mostly by the employees at the Lindner Center. Hmm. It was a campaign to raise money to do this, and that it goes to show how much our employees believe in educating the community about mental health. But this event starts at 11 o'clock and runs till 4. There'll be 3 different breakout sessions where folks can learn anything from eating disorders to addictions, depression and bipolar disorders, managing anxiety, mental health in later life, just the plethora of opportunities there. And also we have a keynote speaker, Mackenzie Phillips, will be with us.
She has an interesting story of her own that deals with this whole issue, doesn't she?
Yes, and that's exactly why she is going to be with us, is to talk about her life and her recovery, because there is recovery in mental health. And so that is what she is going to be talking about.
And this is all free, open to the public?
It is open to the public.
People just have to register ahead of time?
Yeah, register ahead of time. And it is $10, but we do have scholarship money if we want anyone to attend. So we don't want that to stop somebody from registering. So you can register online at the LindnerCenterofHope.org, or you can contact Jenny Southers at 513-536-0323.
And we'll have a link to that as well at WVXU.org.
And the $10 goes to a buffet that starts at 11.
Okay. Now, Mickey brought up the point, if she doesn't have family support, is that going to be one of the topics at the conference, is how important that whole issue is?
Actually, one of the topics is the top 5 ways to support your family member. So that is one topic. And for folks who don't have family support, Brian mentioned NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, which has always been a partner of ours. That's a great resource for folks to turn to who don't have that family support. They offer support groups and a number of resources for those folks.
Okay, so Sunday, May the 3rd. Lots of good things to learn at this, aren't there?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Paul, are we getting better? Do you see signs of hope that this stigma is starting to go down, and that people are becoming more open to discussing this issue?
I do. I think in my generation, things have gotten better. I notice, especially in younger people, people in their teens and 20s, they're much more open about talking about mental illness in themselves or their families. I think that generation is also much more open to other things in life that have been subject of stigma. So I'm hopeful about that. I'm also hopeful that as the public at large learns more about that these are mostly brain-based biologic illnesses that have good treatment options, that people will understand that these are real medical illnesses and go get help.
Yeah, so it's not an issue of you're frail or you're weak. There's actually a sound reason for why you're going through this.
Precisely.
What about the starting shift for more people to treat addictions as mental illnesses? Is that a good sign as well? Brian?
Yeah, I think there's, again, it goes back to the same organ we're talking about as our brain. So a lot of the same triggers in the brain, parts of the same of your brain are in mental illness is similar to addictions. So we're actually going to have a session on that from Dr. Chris Toole about addictions, and he goes into the biological chemistry of why some people are more predisposed to addictions than others. It might be their DNA or just the way they're wired. But because somebody could have a beer and not have a problem, and someone else that's an alcoholic,
entirely different matter,
could be the first of many. So, and why does that happen to one person and not the other? That type of thing. It's similar to heart disease, diabetes, and so I think it's the predisposition that can cause these issues.
Paul, Stacy, and Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. From the Lenner Center of Hope, President and CEO Dr. Paul Keck, Stacy Reese, Manager of Inpatient Social Work and Spiritual Care, and Chief Operating Officer Brian Owens. The Lenner Center Education Day, Sunday, May the 3rd, and Journey to Successful Living, a program of the Hamilton County Mental Health and Recovery Services Board, will recognize National Children's Mental Health Awareness Day on Thursday, May 7th. And links to information are available on our website, wvxu.org.